a beautiful intro, but it's not a beautiful day here on WDL Radio, at least for two-thirds of us.
That's right. There's a dark cloud hanging over GPS today, as we have officially been eliminated again.
And that will be the major story of week four WDL Radio. As usual, I am Human Bones and I am joined by Alt, Stab, and Zanero. Obviously not the greatest week for you guys, but I hope you're hanging in there.
Yeah, it's not a great day, you know, but, well, yeah.
Leave me alone.
Well, we can't leave you alone because we've got map 14 to talk about. We talked a little bit about this map last week. Obviously, it was a new map to the WOD itself. Also a new map to the regular season. Nobody was quite sure how it was going to go. We thought Caboose had, you know, the upper hand in his game because obviously he was the mapper, and so I think that really played out. My impressions of this map, I really enjoyed trying to learn mid. You know, I think we talked last week about how much of an impact the armor would have, and I didn't think it would really have any impact at all, but it ended up being such a huge part of the map itself. I think it really, you know, it really became like a major part of my team's strategy to control that armor. So overall, I mean, I noticed that it's not a map that you can push up on. Like, it's a map that was totally built for the Ralphuses and the Roods and the Ross Kings of the world. And so pushing up really meant a lot of tricky situations. But I would definitely play that map again, and it seems like we are going to, as it's been picked as a home field. Of course, we'll get to the home fields later. But yeah, so what are your guys' thoughts on this map after having played a full week of practice and your match on it?
Well, kind of similar to what you were saying now, you know, because I see kind of what you were talking about. It's a map for like those specialist runners, you know. Well, we'll get into my game, but yeah, you know, I like the map despite our immense failure on it, and you know, I don't think Zen is going to feel the same way, but I really actually really like it. Like, it's one of my favorites of this year, and maybe last year too. There was a lot that I didn't like last year, maybe the middle chunk, but this, man, I like this one a lot, and I would play again, definitely. So I'll just let Zanero though talk about what he thought.
I think like the map came out to being close to what I thought about. May have mentioned on last week's radio, it's a pretty offensive map, but not in the way I don't think we all expected it to be, to where there are so many different avenues of attack, and it ended up being, it wasn't all in offense, it was more of a tricky play your cards right offense that actually made a difference in all three games this week. I thought that was actually kind of interesting, because you don't have a whole lot of maps like that, so it's kind of refreshing to see teams be put on the hot seat and have to deal with that.
I will just jump in and say, I think that this is a map in which we had a new, like sort of a new look, you know, that has sort of been like the, it seems like the theme of this season, even though I sort of earlier in some shows said that I thought that the first three maps, you know, kind of ticked me off in their similarities. It turns out they were all actually pretty, you know, different, especially week three. It seemed like maybe one and two were both a little fraggy for sure. But then week three, you saw teams that had done really well in weeks one and two really I mean, maybe not poorly, but, like, you know, you had maybe some teams that did poorly in weeks 1 and 2 do way better on that map. And then in week 4, you know, again, we see, like, Suck do really awesome in this map. It's like, you know, we had these teams, we've got these teams that I think play really well on certain kinds of maps and maybe not so well on others, you know. So I think that was interesting. It was interesting to see another... a style of map completely that we catered completely to different teams than it had in weeks past.
Yeah, and I think a big strategy amongst all the teams was this kind of two-pronged attack thing that they had going on. Whether it was two people coming in through that main entrance or one person coming in through the main entrance and another person going up top, you know, if a team was able to push up and leave their defender alone, that gave the other team a good opportunity to do kind of a two-pronged thing where they, you know, they get the defender sort of confused about what's going on, and, you know, they kill him and he spawns somewhere else, like, you know, out in that back area. And I think that was a really good strategy and a great way for teams to catch their opponents off guard. I know that happened a lot in our own game, but, yeah, it was kind of a different kind of look because... the other map seemed to be a little bit more open than this one, but this one had all these different, you know, elevations and different entrances, and, you know, it was easier to kind of juke somebody out or you know, distract them in one direction. So I really enjoyed that aspect of it because you got to see these teams really work together to get those flags out, you know?
A different kind of defense, too. Like, this is a map that, you know... I would have a chance at defending on, sort of, where it's more of a, like, guys are right in your face, you know, instead of where, like, 31, it's a more, you got to be more precise, you know, which I am not, if that makes sense. I don't know if you guys agree with that.
I felt like the map, it really valued, like what Bone said, a two-pronged attack because it forced them to divide their attention, and you kind of had to get out of that base alive as a runner. It's interesting because I believe you'll notice that the frags for this week are way under the previous three, and it gave a lot of teams that didn't have a high frag potential a good shot to pull tricks off and to actually, like, show their stuff with actual technique instead of having to muscle their way through the base. And I think we saw that in all three games, actually, which was pretty interesting.
Yeah, we outfragged Suck by maybe not a lot, but I know we did, and it mattered little.
Yeah, so it's one of those rare maps where outfragging your opponent doesn't, you know, lead to a win. Because I think it's pretty obvious, for the most part, when a team outfrags their opponent that they're going to end up winning just based on, you know, that kind of control. But, yeah, this was a map, you know, you saw a lot of people just grab the flag and, they're, you know, the defender of that team had no idea where the person was going with their flag. So there's a lot of trickery, which I'm not sure is actually a word, but I enjoyed it. And so jumping into Wumbo and BST, of course, you know, we talked about Ross King having the upper hand. He's being the mapper of this map. And so what was interesting to me was Wumbo playing without J Warrior. And, you know, Wumbo being in first place all season. Not a runaway first place, but they've been up there. And so I think this was the wrong game for them to falter on. Because now they're in second place, they're only a point behind, but still, you know, it's going to be hard for them to get back into that first place spot. So BST really did a great job of giving themselves the best opportunity in the playoffs. And so, you know, I think it was also great to see Von Doom get some playtime. I don't think he played bad at all. I just think maybe lack of practice led to the outcome that we saw. But he got a couple of good flags himself, so that might be something for them to build on in the event that, you know, they have scheduling conflicts or whatever the case was that Jay Warrior wasn't able to make it. But overall, I thought it was a great victory for BST. Like I said, they put themselves in a really good opportunity for the playoffs.
Yeah, seeing new players jump into games and do well gets me hard. So that was awesome. I like that. Overall though, it's never good to see a team not practice all week and then show up unexpectedly undermanned and then put on a performance like that. I mean, I'm not trying to rip on any of the individuals in said match, because I'm sure they all played hard, but the preparation clearly was not there, and it made for a pretty one-sided affair, not too entertaining for really anybody. But did like seeing a little Von Doom McDoom action. He's a great player, in my opinion. He is gonna get used to Otomax eventually, and become much better. This is just his first taste, So, yeah.
I don't think lack of preparation can be blamed nearly as much as the nature of the map. If you come in without a good plan, we saw that both Wumbo and GPS kind of got eviscerated because of that, because of the nature of the map. Like if you leave a hole in your layout, it shows way more here than maybe on a map that we've played in the past. Just the amount of exploitation you can put on a team on a map like this is really high in comparison. So, I mean, it may be in a different map, Wombo's and GPS's games might have been a little bit more even, but here it really relies on your technique and how you're set up more than anything else.
Well, I just want to say that, what I said, was more like we practiced a decent amount, we just weren't getting it. And I personally am the captain. I maybe screwed up, but I didn't see any practice at all out of Wumbo all week. And then they ended up one short as well. So, it's sort of like the suck of last week, where you got a game that was just sort of, you hate to see that. That's just to clarify what I was saying.
Well, then also you had their captain, Water, just show up like 2 minutes before game time, so he went in cold.
Yeah, and there was some interesting chatter throughout the game that perhaps Water was not putting in full effort. Now, Blair, I think Blair, played his best. I think he played better than his best. He played pretty great. Von Doom, of course, getting his first start. You guys see any kind of situation like that happening, or you think it was just a matter of maybe not, like you said, not really warming up, not really having a lot of practice time with this lineup and, having a bad strategy?
I'll just say that it is alarming. Not alarming. I mean, who the fuck cares? I mean, it's odd to see a stat line like that out of Water. That doesn't mean that he wasn't trying. I wouldn't dream to say that of a guy who has won basically everything he ever tried. You know what I mean? But it wasn't a good performance out of Water, and I don't know the last time I could ever say that.
I love speculating on Scandal. I love the idea that maybe Water just came in and just threw it. I love that idea. But I mean, the reality is that he could afford to take this loss. I mean, Jay Warrior wasn't around. He didn't have his prime lineup. I mean, he could have told he had to have known that you could just eat this loss and it wouldn't have that much of a bearing on going into the playoffs. I mean, he's guaranteed a spot.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
I mean, it's not like it's not critical for them. So, I mean, showing up cold, although that was probably way more, had just no practice and coming in like with no warm-up time at all. That probably was more important in the end result than Water just, going, I don't care. I don't think that happened, but it's really fun to see.
Well, you're right. He is guaranteed a playoff spot, but it does certainly make it interesting, especially as we move into the tie that happened this week between SXP and TDT, because they're only separated by 1 point. So they're currently in third and fourth place. Now, Wumbo has 11 points. So theoretically, you know, Wumbo could lose in two rounds this week. SXP and TDT could win in two rounds, or three, and they would end up, you know, bumping Wumbo into different spots in the standings. So, although the loss may not have been completely detrimental, I think it makes a huge dent in their plan to be the first seed. But moving back to the tie, playing in that game, certainly I think round one was a learning experience. It was a lot of back and forth, and from what I understand, Torvald's mouse had some issues, but I didn't really know about that until afterwards. Basically, I kind of left him to defend on his own, which is where that two-pronged attack thing comes in, which I really should not have done. I kind of pushed up a little bit. But at the same time, TDT did a great job of kind of, you know, ruffling our strategy up and, you know, forcing me really out of position. Round two, we did a much better job of controlling the defensive side and just kind of letting Rude do what he does, you know. Of course, on the stream, Jahar kind of gave him some shit for missing a bunch of rocket jumps. Although, you know, I don't think that's the easiest rocket. It looks deceivingly easy, but if you're doing it, you know, in that small little area with people shooting at you, it's kind of difficult. But we managed to come out of it and take round two. And round three, of course, you know, we went down 3-0. So we were able to bounce back from that even and tie it up and make it a tie. But, you know, of course, I believe it was round three, DS had this infamous rocket jump Oda fail, as I wanted to call it. He took the flag, got over into the middle, rocket jumped up, actually beat our entire team over there, but he hit the wall and it bounced him back into the middle and we killed him. So I know that there's been a YouTube video. Technically, it's a vanilla Doom fail, yes. But so he got bounced back out into the middle, and we were able to kill him. But overall, I really enjoyed that game. I think, again, just like week three, another great matchup between two very even teams. TDT certainly finding themselves a spot in the playoffs. Be interesting to see who they end up playing. But yeah, I thought it was a great showing by both teams. What are your guys' thoughts?
Oh, man, that game was so great. You know, I said going this week that TDT, you know, I wouldn't pick them because they hadn't got that big win, you know, against a winning team, you know, and this was it for them. They didn't win, but they got a tie against a real powerhouse team, you know, defending champs, and it really blew me away. Like, I was very impressed. So that's my first takeaway from it. Second, I was just going to say that, just to reiterate the point that we made earlier, so you guys outfragged them by almost 50 total frags, and they, you tied, but they had more touches total. So I kind of looked at the other games. That seems to be a trend. I was going to ask you a question. You said Bones, that maybe it was a mistake for you to take that two-pronged attack. So can you elaborate on that?
Well, what I meant was it was a mistake for me to leave Torvald to experience that kind of an attack, because that's what I noticed after a while, is that, you know, they really got us out of position, and I found myself pushing quite a bit up into their base. And so I think that really left our base open, and, you know, Tor was yelling for help a lot, and I just wasn't able to go back there and help him. So that's what I meant by that.
I understand what you're saying completely, and, like, I then wonder, though, what you're to do today, son, to do as, you know, a team when your opponent does that to you, right? Because right? We'll get a little echo here. On that happened to us.
Oh, right. I see what you're saying. So after round one, what I did was I pulled back a little bit. So I didn't really go past the armor. And I just thought, okay, we've got Rude who, you know, he's been getting rocket jumps out of there. He's been getting out of the base. He just hasn't had a lot of cover. So I just figured, you know what, I'm going to let Rude do what he can do. And, you know, I'm going to take care of Tor and our side because I felt like maybe if I can push them out of their base, then that's going to give Rude a better chance. And that seemed to work in round two. Round three, to me, they kind of went 3-0. Like, it just seemed like they went 3-0. They overtook us very early. Well, actually, not very early. It was like 2 minutes into the game that they got their first flag. They got their second one pretty shortly after that, I believe. But yeah, I kind of pulled back a little bit. And I was not pushing. I was trying to control the armor. That was my main focus, was just controlling the armor, making sure Rude got it as many times as he could. So that was my in-game kind of adjustment.
I mean, really interesting that, you know, you weathered the storm sort of in round three of their sort of blitzkrieg on you, and then Rude capped at 6:30, and then Rude capped at 7:23, and then Rude capped at 8:57. So it's exactly like you're saying. I think the case is with this map is that when you have people running two at you and a flag gets out, right? And that's possibly going to happen, you know, if you just miss a shot, you know, and that happened to us. You get, like, we got at one point our whole team on their side. And it just leads to these, back-to-backs or just real bad situations where you just can't reset. It's so hard to reset once you get out of your set. I think in round two, we held it 0-0 in our game. We won't get too much into that, but yeah, I'm just finding it real interesting what you're describing and similarities to what I felt in our
game. Yeah, and what you were just talking about actually happened in our game. All three of their team was in our base, and they grabbed our flag, and Tor and I are trying to fight them off, and I can hear Rude, like, he's sort of in our base, and I'm like, dude, you gotta go and get their flag. Like, there's just no way that we, all three of us, you know, can be in here, because it's just not, you know, mathematically, like, it's just not, it's too risky for us, so you've gotta go and get their flag. But, so what they did was they overpowered us, they pushed out, and they actually ended up scoring. So it's like, it's just one of those, you know, just one of those maps that, I don't know, it's very hard to get a grasp on what to do in like a split second. But on just like a basic level, you really, really have to try and understand, you know, like the flow of a map as best you can. Otherwise, you can't make those in-game adjustments. Like, you can't just say, okay, this person, you go run. You have to mentally make those kind of, like, you know, even little things I've noticed make huge differences in games. You know, just pulling back, 2 seconds worth of a Doom player running is going to make a big difference in a game. So, I don't know. It's just, it's a very hard map to get down, I guess, you know.
Well, it's even more so now because, I mean, like, in this map, 2 seconds worth of running is like going from flag to flag, pretty much. This is such a...
yeah.
And, like, you can get... the potential for rebounds is so high because, well, there's two factors. Like, well, one, there's not really a dedicated mid. And two, you don't have line of sight to a lot of places. So that's partially why a lot of teams can get off kilter so quickly, because you spawn in, you can't see shit. There's everything in the way. There's all kinds of crap going on. And sometimes even voice comms don't even happen in time. You're just like, you're blindly running around half the time unless you have a good plan. Like, this map is so, it's very unlike a lot of other maps. Because usually we either have a really wide open map where there's a lot of time between certain events that you can kind of just keep a mental picture the whole time, or
right.
there's line of sight to everything. So this map had neither of those. So I think a lot of teams that came in like not really well prepared, they were towing that very fine line between like having two people push up or like their whole team in the other base, and they were like, what are we doing? So we saw that's really why this map is so dangerous to a lot of teams.
I think it's a chemistry map too. Like Bones was saying, it's split second decisions, and I don't think we were ill prepared necessarily. I mean, maybe we were in the respect that we just never got it right. But you know, it's the flow. You got to feel it, and you got to like you know. Ralphus and Tony talked to me later about well, I guess maybe I'll wait till we get into that game.
We can move right into that game now.
Into it, because what you know, one of the interesting parts of the stream when I watched it back was like what you just said, Bones. Was one time you guys ended up with their whole team TDT in your base, and you were like, "Rude, like you got to get out of here." You know, Ralphus is a you know an A++ runner, you know the best we have, and it's just not part of his DNA to ever even stick around in the first place. But that's what you saw on the stream when there was all three of us. All
right, well,
robot
over. So,
Mr. Robot,
Human Bones' take on the GPS game.
Okay, so you know the thing that I noticed, of course, when he was seemed like he was going to get into Ralphus. To me, this is totally like a Ralphus map. So. You know, the term Ralphusing the flag, I think about it every game. You know, I think it's just become part of, like, you know, the human English language here. You know, Ralphusing the flag is such a viable strategy on this map, but at the same time, you know, the way that Suck really overtook you guys, I think, was Ralphus was completely relentless. And I think maybe, you know, you guys tried to compensate for that. You know, it was just over and over and over that Ralph was grabbing the flag. And half the time, you know, he was scoring because on this map there's all these pillars, there's all these ways to run, and he's really great at just, like, you know, in a split second, like, zooming off in one direction and you know, able to turn corners. And it was just totally built for his style of play. And I think, you know, the more that Ralph scored, the more you guys were pushing, and that was like, that's not the way to go about it on this map. You know, you just can't push really like that if you're down, especially because, you know, the other team's going to take advantage of that, especially when they have Ralphus. So, to me, that was kind of where you guys faltered a little bit. I think, you know, maybe you would have had more success if you and, you know, I'm not sure who was playing defense, but it seemed like you switched Dranzer to running. In the second round, but yeah, it just seemed like maybe, you know, Ralphus was able to scramble you guys, and there was maybe a little bit of lack of communication when he was coming out. But again, this map is just built for, you know, taking the other team and completely cutting off any type of communication that you could have. So yeah, I think Ralphus totally took charge of that whole game.
You want to go ahead?
Well, I just wanted to finish. Am I back in orbit?
You are.
Thank you. What you saw in that stream when we had to chase a flag out and our whole team ended up in their base, what you saw was Jahar moving immediately to Ralph Cam. And by the time we were all in their base, he was halfway across the sludge and burning up the ramp to pick up the rebound, and so it's really like you just can't, if you're gonna play the style that we did in round one, you just cannot get so out of position. You almost have to. It might be better to just like watch if a flag gets across mid, it might be better to just like wave goodbye to it and just say it's gone. And that's the way you can reset. Because you were saying, Zen, that you can't play mid here. Watch my demo of nobody probably will. I understand that, but
I won't.
And I think that I played a really good mid, and the thing that killed us is, I think, when I pushed forward, I pushed too far forward. I should have done what Tony did, which was smarter. And what I should have done was only poked my head in, like, to just close enough so that I could shoot anybody trying to get their SSG, the one that's in the base. And then from there you can, you know, push up to make a critical shot if Dranz is coming out or something. Because what happened to us was this. We would damage Ralphus on his way in. Like, he wasn't, you know, getting in untouched. I had an eye on him the whole damn time. Even if you didn't, and a lot of times you were up on the flag, which is fine. Like, that was fine for me. I saw him the whole time. And yeah, I don't always hit my shots, but what killed us is when he would go up the ramp and I would follow him and we wouldn't kill him. Then he would get the flag and jump down and go, like Human Bones was saying, slaloming through those pillars. And instead of me getting, you know, the point blank blast, a millisecond before that, I'd get shot in the back by Tony. And then he's gone. Then he is absolutely gone to the races. Tony can make that shot and then body you or whatever. So they had the right idea. With the mid, I shouldn't have said that I played a great mid because I didn't do what Tony did. I should have thought of that, and that's my fault as a captain too. But I would love to hear from Ralphus too, like if like that was a planned thing or a spoken thing, or if that just happened too.
Well, but, all right. I don't think that I clarified when I said you can't play mid here. Like, if I said you can't play mid, then I meant like traditional mid, where you guard like the power up and you like push a whole bunch. You can't do that here for obvious reasons. Like, you're flanked by alternate routes everywhere, so you can't do that.
Yeah.
Like what Bones was saying, like how Ralph pretty much ran uncontested. That's true. I went into it very ill prepared for what a defender will see in the map. The biggest problem I had is that if I caught him, if I figured out where he was running from and expected him, then usually either I kill him and he would reset and try something else, or he'd have Tony push in with him, and I had to pick one of the two to try to kill. A lot of the problem was that I would end up getting a little bit too aggressive on defense, so I didn't see anybody, but that doesn't mean they're not there. And you'll see, if you watch my point of view, I'm spinning around half the time I'm playing, like, what is going on? And I did not communicate a lot when I was chasing, because I thought, like, I could kill him, and I didn't a lot of times. So a lot of that was because I didn't really know where I was playing, and if me being back on a flag was me in basically panic mode, because I had no idea what was going on.
I thought that was fine.
It wasn't working. Like, they would have...
It wasn't
whenever
working,
they got two in, they would, like, they would just murder me. I was too wide open.
Again, if you watch what happened from my perspective, I was always there backing you up. It was when Ralph would get you and Tony would get me in the back. It was really well-timed push-ins by Tony to get that support kill, you know.
Well, yeah, but you coming back into the base and then we both die, we get those back spawns and they're gone. Like, that was a big problem we've ran into.
We might have wanted to push you closer so that I could push out further, maybe, yeah.
Well, I don't know what would have worked, really. But, I mean, the point is that Ralph was definitely MVP that game because he figured out what we were doing and he managed to run away around that. He figured it out. He had his team work the way he wanted, and he just continued to score on us.
And right now, live, we are joined by WDL Commissioner and Superchargers Captain Ralphus. Why don't you give us your take on how successful your team was against GPS?
Hi, guys. First off, long-time caller. No. First-time caller. So
wow.
Great to be on. Whatever. So anyway, what was...
My question was, I'd like to get your perspective on how you managed the kind of success that you did against GPS.
Wait. I wanted to know if that was a chemistry thing or if you guys had talked about it pregame and came up with that idea of Tony just coming up to the cusp of our base and trying to, like, fuck with the SSG spawn. Because that's what did us in.
Oh, that was our whole strategy, actually. We developed that strategy in the practices leading up to our game against you, particularly against SXP, and also Jay Warrior was filling in some. And we were kind of getting whooped on. I could always get into the flag, but I could never get – I would always get killed. And someone would always spawn there, and they would murder me. And what Tony came up with was he found out that most of those spawns, they all gravitate towards that super shotgun right in the entrance where the small pillar is. And he started just spawn fragging there constantly. And eventually, he probably figured out where all the spawns were, and he knew when he could push up and attack the defender. Now, I will say this. When we played our practice games, particularly against Tor, was the defender that we practiced against a lot. Torvald defended a lot differently than Zen, and I actually thought that playing against Tor was easier just because he didn't play as close to the flag as Zen did. He would always come down sometimes. I would meet him on the floor, and it was a different dynamic in the base. It also made him easier for Tony to kill sometimes. Zen, a lot of the time, would sit at the top of the ramp behind the wall in the window, the support for the window in the wall, and he would make it really tough for me to shoot him. And really, what ended up working for us was that Tony took his strategy and I took my strategy, and on the fly, we kind of determined that since Zen was sitting up top, we could kind of pick shots at him because he could hide from one of us till we got there, but he couldn't hide from both of us because Tony would have the far right angle and I would have the left angle. And eventually, we would take Zen out and I would get a grab and I would go. And that was definitely our plan. It didn't work according to plan in the beginning because Zen set up differently, but it took us about 3 or 4 minutes to finally switch it, what we were doing.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, I noticed you switched it up because my strategy was there to intentionally block you because you often came from the rocket launcher area. And so I had to force you to come up to one-hit kill range to where I could just pop out and annihilate you. But when Tony started pushing up and my flank was exposed, I started trying to find other places I could defend from efficiently, and I just couldn't find one. So that was a good plan on your part.
Yeah, I would use the slime as my primary path because it kind of afforded me a couple things. First off, a lot of time I would get over there, I'd be unfazed. Stab would follow me sometimes, but he wouldn't always follow me back into the slime. So even if he would hit me, sometimes I could grab that health that was down there. And then sometimes the health in the stairwell would be there as well when I got there. So that would usually buff me back up. I also got really lucky with spawns. I kept spawning up top to get the blue armor. That was just luck. But what I would do is I would hang out there sometimes. Most of the time I would just run right in. But sometimes when I realized what you were doing, I would chill for a second. I'd wait for Tony to make his move, and I'd see if you'd push up. And if you did, I would go behind you.
That really screwed with me
a lot more later in the game. But
yeah. You really, when you started hesitating, because I had a pretty good idea of what you were doing, and I think you went slime like 80% of the time.
I would say at least.
But you're right. The blue armors, they kill us. And then, God, when you started to hesitate and shit back there, because there were points in the game, like, you know, where we really held you guys down, and especially in the first round, but for stretches at a time. But when you started to mess around behind those pillars and stuff, I think that's exactly what happened, is that I would have my attention focused entirely on you, and then Tony would come up and, you know, blast my ass. And then from there, you can get a chain gun spawn. You can get, you know, they're not great spawns always. And then if they kills an arrow, then it's, you know, 2-on-1. They can kills an arrow easily, you know.
I thought another thing that worked out actually for us too was, and this kind of developed during the game on the fly, Caution was doing a really good job defending. It's a very hard map to defend by yourself. And as you said already, that's Tony wasn't pushing all the way in for that reason. But for the most part, he was defending by himself. Sometimes he would get overrun because your team would just push like crazy. And then I would get caught up defending with him. So sometimes that would happen, and I think that would be some of our down periods on our offense. But Tony recognized when that would happen, and he would almost universally run during that period of time. If he knew that I was back there helping, he would push.
Yeah, because I would like, that was smart.
Because we didn't want to give you any chance to push.
I would, whenever I got the blue armor, I would push. And then I would see you fall back because I'd see your name. And I would hear our flag taken. I'd be totally like, what? How the fuck is he in like two different places at once? You know, but it was Tony just picking right up on that. And that really killed us. Like, we had a couple of chances that could have really turned the tide, at least in round one. But some flag standoffs did not go our way.
I think this is the perfect... Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I got to give my team credit. We went down 0-2 in the first round. We're on the verge of elimination. Everyone kept their cool, though. I can't stress enough. Nobody got bent out of shape. I mean, it would be a perfect opportunity to be like, oh boy, here we go again. And everyone kept their cool, and we just did what we had practiced, and we came back from it in the first round. I think it was a really big thing for my team.
Yeah, and I think that was a great example, your team in particular, of how practicing is so important, because we played you earlier on in the week, and we were having a lot more success against you, and then right prior to the game, you know, I think we had two rounds that were 5-4, one that we won and one that you won. So I think you guys really fixed whatever problems you were having, and it showed in the game. Fortunately, we have to move on to map 23 and week 5. Map 23 is a map that we all know very well. In season 2, I believe Wumbo, whatever they were called in season 2, I'm not sure if they were Wumbo, they picked that map as their home field because that is a map made by water. And basically, you know, map 23 sort of all revolves around that megasphere. You know, whoever gets it ends up running, and it is actually one of those maps where you can get the megasphere, run in, you know, kill one defender, and then just kind of bolt. And you have a pretty good chance of making it across the middle, only because, you know, usually the defender is in chase mode. So I think it's going to be an interesting map to play, you know, especially because it's become almost commonplace now. Everyone's kind of got their own little strategy on it, but it's going to be big, I believe, you know, as it always is on that megasphere in the middle.
Yeah, it's going to, you know, just past experiences, it's going to have to be timed. Everybody's going to be timing it, and that's where a lot of the action is going to go down. And I would expect the team that dominates that is going to have a pretty good chance of coming out victorious. Yeah, I don't know. It's a map that we all know pretty well, so I'm kind of excited for some pretty good games here in the final week.
Well, it's not a megasphere. It's actually a solar sphere.
Okay.
The big part of this map is that not only is it easily controlled in time, I mean, it's open to everything. It's wide open in the middle. The other thing is that a lot of spawns kind of lend themselves towards going funneling right out to middle through the main entrance and covering a runner. So if you're able to time a flag run to the sphere and pick it up, you're almost guaranteed to cross, because anyone who is spawning in like your base and coming out, they're set up perfectly to cover you as you run across. The other thing the teams might want to watch out for is the side passage that goes above and kind of around the side to the main flag room part of the base. That was favored by a lot of the trickier teams to get defense out of the main entrance and push them back so that the other people could kind of come through the main entrance and put more pressure on the spawns. I think we'll see that a lot more from the fraggier teams this week.
Yeah, and it's such an offensive map because of that sphere. and because of the spawns. So you're automatically spawning in the middle. Really, the only person who's going to be in the base if you're spawning in the middle is the defender. So everyone's kind of pushing towards the other team's base. So, you know, in the past, we've seen that kind of lend itself to high-scoring games. And that's certainly going to be the case in our first game here, which is SXP versus Suck, which is probably going to be the most interesting game of the week, only because Suck has a chance to win in two rounds and push themselves right into the playoffs. And, you know, if SXP manages to, you know, push it into three rounds, then Suck is eliminated. And of course, it is another classic Ralphus versus Human Bones showdown, which are always entertaining, especially in the regular season. You know, the playoffs have also lent themselves to that, but this season, only one can make it into the playoffs. And I will say I am quite terrified of having to play against Ralphus on a map like this. You know, he's got the ultimate ability to burn an entire team, and this map really is that kind of map. So, you know, you got to have a lot of mid control, again, timing the sphere, and I think those are things that really lend themselves to Suck. So it's going to be a good match, I believe. I'm really looking forward to it.
There can be only one.
This is true.
One prince of the universe. That's going to be Bones or Ralphus missing the playoffs. So yeah, this is one to watch, because while Bones and Ralph have had their share of heartache and IDL passed for Bones and WDL until last season, and Ralphus largely in the WDL, you know, a lot of appearances in the finals. This is something new, you know, where one of them, two men enter, one leaves, you know what I'm saying? So, cage match, it's going to be awesome. And, yeah, I think it should be a pretty great game. It would be a hell of a comeback. It'd be a hell of a headline, you know, defending champs ousted from playoffs by a team that started 0-3, right? 0 points going into week four?
Yes.
Ah, man, that would be crazy. That, you know, no offense to anybody in SXP or you, but, you know, man, I can't even believe that this is a possibility. But, you know, in a five-week season with the kind of competition that we generally have, you know, we're usually there aren't, you know, a lot of, there isn't too much of a gap where like a team never has a chance to even win, you know, in a matchup. We don't see a lot of that, you know, and so, you know, maybe that's why, I don't know. It'd be interesting to see if SXP regains their form from, you know, last year. It's going to be great.
Well, this is why I mentioned the matchup, because, you know, historically, Ralph and I, you know, we understand each other. We know exactly, you know, especially when we're on the same team with each other, we kind of know exactly what the other person is thinking. And so I think that really is a big part of our chemistry when we play together. But it also leads to some extremely close games. You know, they're never decisive. They always go into extra innings, if you will. So, yeah, it's going to be a hell of a game.
Somebody just pointed out, I can't believe we didn't mention this, but it would be a rematch of last year's finals.
It would be, with Caution switched out for Cable Air, but still, it would be a rematch of last year's finals, and it's playing for the playoffs. That's quite the headline there.
Hell yeah.
But the odds are stacked against Ralphus this time around, because he has to win in two rounds. I'm not sure if one of the rounds is a tie, they still win the other two. Does that still guarantee them 4 points? I don't know off the top of my
head. It does not. That would be a three-round win. That would be 3 points.
So they have to win in two rounds for them to actually get into the playoffs, which would also bump Bones out. So that is the only way that the Chargers could actually get into the playoffs. So we'll be looking for a Fast and Furious style from them, because they want to shut them out real quick before Bones and crew can adapt. It's going to be probably the most anticipated game of next week.
Definitely.
It's going to be the most anticipated game of the entire Doom League.
Ever!
I'm not sure. Is Ralphus here? I'm not sure if Ralphus wants to say a few words.
Sure. I'm looking forward to it. As you guys said, it's a rematch from last season. I'd love a chance to knock you guys out. We know that we're at a disadvantage coming in. Effectively, we're already down a flag every single round. So we know that. We're ready. We're not going to come in and you're going to get our best. You will definitely get our best.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we shall see what happens. Wumbo and GPS, you know, that game could have had some interesting storylines. Of course, you know, GPS is out of the playoffs, but I like the matchup. I think Zanero in the middle, with his, you know, ability to outfrag just about anybody, I think will give Wumbo some trouble, and Wumbo really needs to come back and rebound after last week. You know, they've got to keep their footing in the seeding, and so you know, I'm looking for Wumbo to really come out and prove that, you know, they deserve to be at the top of the seeding. Of course they do, you know, but they have to redeem themselves. But it would be a great storyline also for GPS to come in and win in two and really kind of, you know, leave Wumbo kind of stumbling their way into the playoffs. I would really enjoy that storyline. But I think the big matchup here is Zen and whoever ends up playing mid for Wumbo. I think that's going to be probably, you know, what determines the winner here.
Yeah. I was just saying, Wumbo's the super team, and they didn't look so super last week, so, you know, it'll be interesting to see if they come out and crush us like they probably think they should, and it's Water's map, but we're going to do our damnedest to make sure they go into the playoffs on a down note, on a sour note.
I think there's a lot of potential for Wumbo to lose home field as a result of this week's match. I personally am looking to rebound from my poor performance this week. So I intend to get in a lot. I intend to give him some hurting. But I think that it would to be a disservice to say that they're not a threat. They're definitely one of the top teams in the league, and I don't think Water's going to show up to this one and not be ready.
No, I
don't think so, especially on his own map. He's got to defend his turf, you know? And I really think all season, you know, flying under the radar has been BST. Of course, we know that they are good, you know, and I say this every week, you know, at the beginning of the season, we weren't quite sure how they were going to work out. But right now, they're in first place, you know. And we've really seen FSN, the combo of FSN and Ross King come alive. And so that, to me, is what I'm looking forward to most in this matchup. Those two kind of in the middle. Really controlling that sphere, making some calculated runs, you know, teamwork and covering the flag runner. And, you know, they've got, as good as they are, they've got a huge task going up against DS, who's a monster, Terska, who's a monster, and Ding Dang, who had an amazing game last week, you know. I think he's really starting to come into his own. So, to me, I think, matchup-wise, this is probably the game of the week because, like I said, BST is trying to take command of that number one seed. And in one little matchup here, TDT could actually push themselves into first seed. So, I'm very much looking forward to this game. Game of the week for me.
Yeah, this has like all the makings of that noon game, you know, that noon NFL game that ends up totally showing up the headliner for Sunday Night Football.
Yeah.
You know, like you guys have like the sexy tabloid headline of Ralphus versus Human Bones. So there's just no denying, you know, that's getting top billing. But matchup-wise, I agree. I think these teams are close in terms of maybe talent, or, well, I don't know. I just think that it's going to be a very good game. I know DS runs. I'm also very interested to see the lineup for TDT, because I know Demon Sphere loves to run on this map. It's like the only map that he almost always insists on running on in pub. And in Season 2, he ran here, and he does an impressive rocket jump from that side lift all the way across mid. He's really fucking good at it. So very excited to see if he does that. Then maybe they put, you know, the dinger on D, or Terska on D. You know, I don't know. But yeah, I think this could be the match that actually ends up being the best one of the week. And you know, I'm a fan right now of TDT, because they're kind of like the little engine that could, you know. And after last week, I mean, they can definitely. And not that I'm not a fan of FSN, Stark, and Rosskin, because I am. Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of rooting for, you know, my boy Ding from last year, especially, too. Yeah.
I think TDT and BSD are some of the strongest and most flexible teams we have this time around. The amount of talent they have on both sides, including, personally, I'm very surprised FSN in his first major showing is proving to be so capable. I wasn't expecting it, but I'm pleasantly surprised, because it'll lend to this matchup very well. I know FSN is really good at mid-style play, even with his latency, you know, playing all the way from France, I believe.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Rostin's team can switch it up at a moment's notice, but so can TDT. It's definitely going to be a good game to watch. I don't have much more to say. I mean, both teams are fantastic. It'll be fun to watch them change it up round after round.
I agree. And of course, you know, I know DS loves to run on this map, but I really think he'd be doing his team and himself a disservice if he does not defend. I think he is probably their best shot at shutting down any offense that BST brings to them. So let's jump real quickly. Let's jump into home fields, because today all teams have submitted their home field maps. The teams right now that are confirmed to be going to the playoffs, that would be Wumbo, BST, and TDT. So we'll just go right down the order here. Wumbo chose map 17. Map 17 to me really fits in with all three players on Wumbo. You know, it's a fast map. They have lots of opportunities to display their teamwork and chemistry. You know, together, all three of them, three of the most fraggiest people in the league. So if you put them in small spaces near each other, I think you know, their opponent should really be worried. And of course, I know Water has raved about this map. This is one of Water's favorite maps to play. So to me, it wasn't really a surprise. You know, I've played a playoff game here with Blair. Blair is an extremely underrated defender, and especially here, I think he's going to have a fucking great game. So, yeah, to me, I think this was the perfect choice for Wumbo. You know, maybe outside of map 23. So anybody that plays them here is going to be in for quite a matchup.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because all three of them are great defenders here. Jay Warrior defends great here. K-Blair, and then Water just rapes face on this map. Like, this is Water's favorite fucking map of all of them. So no surprise that he picked it. And I'll actually be surprised if he doesn't end up defending, just because, like I said, he is such an absolute face raper on this map. So good luck to anybody that plays Wumbo on 17. You're going to need it.
I think the most terrifying thing about Wumbo on this map in particular is that all three of them are really strong alone. And that's what a team needs to be good here, because it's a wide open map, the spawns are far apart, and all three of them, all three of their main lineup, can do any of these positions really well. So you're, no matter what they change up to, you're looking at a strong lineup. There's not really a huge chink in their armor. And on this map, that makes them even more a threat. I think their home field is more a force multiplier than anything else. So it should be tough to overcome them here, but I want to see a team do it.
Second in the order, BST chose map 14, which is the map that we just played. Another obvious choice for them. Ross King mapped this, you know, he's the author of this map. They had a very strong showing in the game this week. It propelled them into the first seed, and, you know, it just seems like a map that they were built to play. Their whole team kind of operates as one on this map, and I really enjoyed watching them play. You know, anybody that goes up against them on this one, this will be a tough one for them as well. And of course, you know, it played some really great games in the past couple days, so I can only imagine in the playoffs when elimination is on the line that the games are going to be even better. So I'm really looking forward to that, too.
Yeah, we probably shortchanged BST a little bit in our talk on this map. We spent most of it talking about what Wumbo didn't do, but what BST did do was, you know, totally dominate it. Sark, as pointed out by Jahar on the stream, did really good on defense. Ross King, look at his stat line. It's a pretty insane mid stat line that he put together. And then, of course, FSN was running very capably. So, obvious choice.
Yeah, BST, their synergy is really good. It's showing more and more. Their game against Wumbo was pretty good. I mean, like, this is Ross King's map. He knows how to run it. He knows what to set. He's already played on it with his team. He knows what to expect going into it. And their team is pretty much built for a tricky map like this. Like, I think this is a great choice for them. And it'd be kind of scary to play them here.
Suck picked map 26, which was one of the championship maps from last season. And although they were not all together as a team last year, Ralphus, Tony, and Caution all played on map 26 against SXP, so they've got some experience here. If they manage to get into the playoffs, 26 is, you know, a lot of the things that we said last season, which is 26 is a map that, you know, everybody knows. It's really just going to be really a battle of the SSGs. You know, if you can make that one shot, if you can get out the middle and, you know, have a teammate cover you. So, you know, playing against all three of these guys last year, you do not want to take them lightly. You know, Caution, I know there was a point in the stream of our game last year where Dev was like, you know, freaking out because Caution had killed like 10 people in a row, and he's chasing the flag runner. He's running through that middle hallway and he's chasing somebody with the flag, and he keeps killing them. And then one of my guys picks up the flag and he kills that guy, and then he makes the jump. And he's, like, all primed to kill the guy again. And he, you know, he ends up getting taken down. But, you know, he basically killed 10 guys. And he came pretty damn close to, you know, saving that flag for his team. And, of course, Ralphus and Tony came up with a very good strategy against us as well. So don't take these guys lightly, you know. This is a map that everyone knows. But you got to remember that all three of these guys have been around for a long time. So... they're not going to be ill-prepared, I should say.
Yeah, man, I just got, like, goosebumps thinking about that Caution performance on that map. That was one of my favorites. My favorite performances of last year was Caution on that map. That last little sequence was fantastic, but not only that, but, man, he runs that map like a motherfucker. Like, he is damn good. You know, if he can get some, like good mid support there, you know, if they make it into the playoffs, that'll be interesting. Also, interesting that Suck, they got to pick third. And, you know, at the point in which they picked their map, they still had not won 2-0 against GPS. So they were kind of a long shot for the playoffs, but they seemingly pulled a blocking move, picking map 26. which was the map that SXP picked last year on their run to the championship. So, interesting little strategy there.
Yes, we did have plans to choose that map again. I mean, how, you know, you get a repeat of last year's team, so may as well pick the same map. But, you know, this strategy is tried and true. It's something that many people have done, blocking other teams' home field picks. So, you know, good on them for doing that. But if they end up in the playoffs, then they have to play it. So that's really the downside of it, I guess, if they didn't want to play that map.
I think it's kind of funny that they picked that pretty much to spite Bones and his team. And and I think there are
that's fucking hilarious. I've laughed for days.
Amazing. I love fanning the flames like this. I think there's better maps they could have picked. But
oh, absolutely.
On the flip side, having Ralphus run on here, that's, if he gets away out of the base, then he's gone, man. I think having, like, say, Caution back him up with his frag power, that it could be really dangerous. Caution's really good on wide open areas. Yeah. It could really go their way, actually. But it was definitely interesting seeing the map selection process play out like this.
It always is an interesting process. TDT picked map 11, which was week 2 this season. Now, TDT did a similar thing last season. You know, they picked a map from the regular season that they really did well on. And, you know, map 11, I can see why they picked it. You know, I think they had a really great game week 2. You know, Terska's ability to kind of run on his own and get into that base and take out an entire team, I think, you know, with DS defending. You know, I just really think that map suits their team. I'm really looking for Ding Dang to step it up in the playoffs because, you know, playing mid on that map is not easy. I think everyone struggled with it. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see.
I'll be honest, I don't know if I personally think that was, you know, the best thing for them to do. Just maybe I'm selling myself short, my own team short, but at the time that they played us and won on that map in 3 rounds, in a very close first two rounds, you know, our team was a little bit more of a mess at that point. And we certainly did not practice well on that map. I see them having maybe trouble matching up on that map with somebody like SXP, where Rude was so dominant, even though I know you guys lost on that map. But then BST also kicked ass on that map. You know, when they picked map 2 from last year, and I forget the number, but they...
21, I think.
Yeah, they dominated practice against all the teams. Like, it was their map. So that made more sense last year to me than this does this year.
Well, Demon Sphere sure loves every map that comes up on week 2, huh? The interesting thing about this map is that I think the pressure is really on Ding Dang, because Demon Sphere plays everything good here, and Terska is a monster on maps like this. He's a very technical runner. And I think he's like the one of the biggest threats any team will face on this kind of map. I really want to see Ding Dang, who is still relatively a rookie, I want to see him really pull it up by the bootstraps and just dominate whatever he's playing. Because Demon Sphere and Terska are going to be really good here, and to round that out and make them a top tier threat, then I'm going to be watching Ding Dang as he plays on this map. It's going to be pretty cool.
And of course, GPS picked map 32. Now, you guys picked this map, you know, knowing that you were eliminated, so I guess was this pick in any way trying to block SXP from picking it? Or was this kind of like, well, let's just pick a random number because we have to pick a map?
No, I disagreed entirely with Ralph's theory on that you guys wanted to pick 32. I, because because of what you said about last year. You played Dranzer there instead of Torvald, and you don't have Dranzer this year. You have Torvald. So I just didn't understand why he thought that would be the case. Not that you guys didn't do good there. You did pretty good there. So maybe he was right. I just thought that we've seen a shitload of 32. And as much as I love it, and actually I kind of regret it now, just in case you were going to pick it, because I think it would be a great map to see, like a Jahar stream, you know, that would be very fun with the rocket jumps and stuff. I want to see something else.
Yeah, that's fair. And I mean, you know, even you know, we tossed the idea around, but I'm sick of that map. I've played it, you know, how many times have I played that map in the playoffs? I've had enough for now. I'd like a little bit of a break. So I kind of like that you picked that to sort of block it, because, you know, I mean, we've seen enough of this one. It's time to cycle in some different maps here.
Yes.
Yeah, I no doubt that I think out of all the teams, I think your team is the most prepared for a map 32 slugfest. But yeah, I approve of any map locks for my former team, just personally speaking.
Well, I'm of course, you know, your choice of 32, whether we were going to pick it or not, led to our choosing map 16, which, as far as I'm aware, has never been played in the regular season or the playoffs of the WDL, very similar to map 26 that we chose last season. I'll give you a little bit of background on this map. Last season we took a look at this. It was very high up there. We almost chose it. You know, it's just another one of those maps that we felt like, you know, really plays itself to our strengths. You know, I think maps where... I think we work well a little bit differently than some of the other teams. I think we work well when we're stretched out and, you know, we're not all jumbled up and we've got to kind of do a little bit of teamwork, maybe a little bit of distracting another team to get the flag out and that sort of stuff. So it'll be interesting to see, because I don't remember the last time that we really had a competitive game on this map. I know I picked it as the championship Master Bowl map. Geez, many seasons ago in the IDL, and the game just wasn't competitive at all. You know, the other team didn't really show up, so it was just kind of a blowout. It'll be interesting to see some teams prepare here, because, you know, it was kind of a staple way back when in the ZDCTF days, the pub days there on ZDaemon, but certainly not in a 3v3 setting, probably since, like, season one of IDL, so like 10 years. I'm really looking forward to a different map in the playoffs if we manage to get ourselves in there. So that was kind of our take on that.
I think it's interesting you picked that, because considering your history on maps like 32, this one actually fits right in there, because it's kind of a grindy map, and I think that's why a lot of teams, when the IDL first kicked off, they really wanted to avoid this map, because it's a long, drawn-out grind fest. And I think that the teams that use structure, they're pretty well suited for those maps. Other than that, I mean, another advantage this kind of map has is that you come off another map, you're faced with this style entirely. It's such a shift that it may catch other teams off guard. And that might be interesting to watch.
Yeah, return to Phobos. You old son of a bitch. A lot of people hate this map, you know. It's an old one, and it's been played endlessly, just not recently, and mostly because I think a lot of people hate it. But I think that's going to play right into your hands, as well as it's kind of map 26, like exactly like you were saying. There's going to be a lot of long stretches where it's going to be individuals, you know, doing their thing. And I think Rude, you know, is gonna do a lot here. Like, this is a more of a runner's map than one might think. Like, yeah, you kind of might have to Rambo your way out a little bit, but like, you can do some tricky stuff on your way in.
Yeah, and you also have to kind of remember, you know, sort of what this map has in it. You know, it's got the plasma, it's got rocket launchers, it's got three different spheres. You know, it's got spheres in two bases, in both bases, and then it's got the, you know, yes, it has IMSI also, and it's got the one in the middle, which is usually the point of contention. So, yeah, it'll be really interesting to see. You know, I think a lot of these teams maybe aren't suited for being spread out that way, you know, and that's another reason why. You know, you go up against Wumbo on, like, map 17, and it's like, well, fuck, you know, this is going to be a fucking wrist splitter here, you know. But you spread them out on 16, that's a little bit of a challenge for anybody, really, but certainly much different than any map that we've played at all this season, so it shall be interesting.
Oh, yeah. And there's a... For Marine on ImpSex, sorry.
Yeah, and that's usually what I always go to look at.
Yeah, I figured that was part of the reason.
Yeah, of course. And so as we do always, we will wrap up our show with Player of the Week. I'll go first this week. I think it was obvious to everybody, but my pick for Player of the Week is Ralphus. I think he was totally able to get GPS off. He caught him off guard. With, you know, relentless running, of course, with the help of Tony, like he mentioned, pushing up to the SSG, but really, Ralph was the catalyst in, you know, his ability to get in behind the defender without the defender knowing, and then just pushing out, really, and really confusing the whole team. I think this map was, you know, map 14 was totally made for him, and it showed in the game, so yeah. I'm going to have to go with Ralphus for Player of the Week. And finally getting that win for Suck. So he put him in a real good position to get into the playoffs.
Hard to argue with. Although I am going to go a different way. Because, you know, I don't think that Ralphus was too tricky here. You know, he was kind of his old just, you know, dumb self. Where he just, you know, get shotgun, go, you know. Same way. He does some he has some fancy moves for sure. But I think it was Tony's timely mid-play. He really played it perfect. And I think it was his intelligence and timing and certainly looks like aim and precision. I mean, he, for me, pushed them over the edge. I think we could have handled Ralphus with a different mid or a worse mid, but... Yeah, so Tony, Player of the Week.
Oh, boring. Who cares about that game? I'm looking at the SHP TDT game. You know what I pick? I pick the guy with flippin' 8 captures. I pick Rude.
What? Not him.
Yeah. Like, he, those 8 captures single-handedly saved SHP from a really, really hard game for playoff contention going into this week. Like, without him getting those captures against TDT's offensive onslaught, I'm pretty sure that we'd be looking at a total reversal for the playoffs. Now, he went in, got 2 caps round 1, got 3 caps round 2, and then at the end of round 3, to tie up the whole thing and guarantee those 2 points for SHP, he got 3 captures all within 2.5 minutes. Crazy!
Amazing.
So, totally go with Rude there, because I think he was definitely Player of the Week there.
Well, I can never disagree when someone on my team gets picked for Player of the Week, but that will wrap up WDL Radio for Week 4. Please join us next week. We will have playoff matchups all set and ready to go. So yeah, we'll be here next Monday for the final regular season WDL Radio of Summer 2016. See you then.